cost to be the boss.
Paid the cost to be the boss? Well, maybe. The one person who's deciding what the cost of being the boss on Wall Street anyway is the so-called pay czar, Kenneth Feinberg. He's having to answer that all last week. He's the special master for TARP executive compensation. That means his job is to negotiate executive pay cuts at the five companies that received the biggest share of the TARP bailout money and still haven't paid it back yet. Two of those companies have. Good morning.
Good morning.
So back in February of 2009, you announced this plan to cap Wall Street salaries, and you got criticism right away. I wanted to play you a clip from the director of the Weinberg Center for Corporate Governance. He predicted an exodus of talent. Here's Charles Elson from on this show earlier.
There is the danger, unfortunately, when you set a limit, an arbitrary limit on something, that people, don't work for you. They go somewhere else. They, quote, brain drain. I think that's the concern. I think the other concern, though, is evasion. I think that any time you set a fixed rate, people always work very hard to work around it.
So, Kenneth, there's two criticisms in there, and I want to deal with the first one because it's something you've complained about a lot, which is the huge number of people who keep telling you that they're irreplaceable.
Yes. Well, of course, the statistics have demonstrated that they're not irreplaceable and that they're unlikely to leave. When I issued my rulings last week on 2010 compensation, we found, interestingly, that 85% of the officials who we set their pay in 2009 were still at their desk. And that, as a general rule, I think it's fair to say that what I'm doing with a very small number of companies involving a very small number of senior people, there is not a brain drain, and the data bears that out.
Okay, so let's just deal with Charles Elson's other criticism, which is this theory of evasion, that they're going to find a way to work around your set limits.
Well, that's a legitimate concern. I think that under the law that set up this program, that requires me not only to determine compensation, but to monitor how these officials do receive compensation and to have ongoing coordination and reports back to me. I think it possible, but I think it unlikely that the rigidity of the system that would encourage evasion is likely to happen. I think we've done a pretty good job of reducing overall compensation at these limited number of companies and monitoring that compensation.
But that must become difficult. I found it really interesting to hear you talk about the fact that this sometimes becomes an existential argument, that it's you're not really even negotiating over money anymore, but over people's feeling of self-worth.
Well, I think that's right, and I think that's part of the American character. Compensation, financial, money, is not simply about another house, another car, private schools for children. Rather, it becomes sort of a surrogate or an example of one's own self-worth relative to one's neighbor, one's success in life. In this society, in our modern 21st century society, it is very, very important how one views one's overall compensation relative to one's peers.
But as you've pointed out pretty articulately, there's a big gap between the guys that you're talking to, the men and women on Wall Street, the chasm between Wall Street and Main Street. And it seems from what you've said that that gap is even seen in your own family, or even your own son doesn't seem to understand the salaries that these guys are getting paid.
That's right. If I've learned anything in this job the last year at Treasury, it is the different, fundamentally different perceptions as to what one feels is appropriate compensation if you work on Wall Street versus most of Main Street. And it is a very large difference that makes my job all that much more challenging.
So how do you bridge that? How do you negotiate with these guys?
Well, you see, you don't, you try and bridge it. At the end of the day, Congress has delegated to me, through the Secretary of the Treasury, Secretary Geithner, the authority to set the pay and to make the determinations for the top people, for a very few people at the top. And you try and work out, if you can, consensually, with these 25 officials at these five companies, it's only in total 125 people. You're trying to work out consensually a pay package. But at the end of the day, if you can't, I have the authority to impose it.
Oh, okay, but the CEO of AIG, Robert Ben-Moshe, still earns $3 million a year in salary. Do you think that the culture at Wall Street has changed?
Well, we're hoping it's changed. Now, you're right. Mr. Ben-Moshe, of all the people we looked at, he received the highest package, and it is very high. He has come in laterally. He is trying to right the ship at AIG, which owes the American taxpayer billions and billions of dollars, and has worked very hard to try and put AIG back in the black. Now, what we've tried to do, with a few limited exceptions, but what we've tried to do is keep base cash salaries very low relative to Wall Street, and provide that the rest of the compensation for individuals should come in the form of stock, so that the individual compensation will be tied to the overall value of the company years out, 2, 3, 4, even 5 years out.
Stock that could be worth millions within 1 or 2 years.
Well,
or nothing.
Well, or nothing. That's exactly the point. If the stock goes up and the company thrives, that's what we want. Mm-hmm. The company is repaying the taxpayer for those loans that were issued. And if the stock doesn't go up and performance is negative, then the individual in these companies should bear the brunt of that failure.
Kenneth Feinberg is a special master for TARP executive compensation. Thanks so much for joining us. One last question for you. As we're looking at education, what one class do you think is essential?
History. American history. We learn from our lessons in the past.
Okay, great. Thanks so much.
Look at me. Know what you see? See a bad mother.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.